Today marks almost a month since I decided to do something a little bit different in my business. I started a live streaming challenge for myself. No one told me to, no one suggested it. I came up with it along with ChatGPT as an idea to get myself out of a bit of a funk that I found myself after taking some time off work from holidays and then getting really sick afterwards and just feeling a little bit disconnected. And I thought it would be a really great reflection as this was something that pushed me very much outside of my comfort zone as someone who is self-described video anxious. And I've learned some cool stuff and it feels almost a little bit weird sharing it. But when I was going through and prepping the notes for this session, firstly, I thought I was going to do a session on how to actually set up tech and how to use StreamYard and things like that, the actual tools that I have been using for this live streaming challenge, just in case it's motivated you and you're like, yeah, I want to do it too. But as I was prepping those notes and I got past that kind of, you know, surface level of, hey, this is what you do and, you know, use this software and blah, 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 I realized that this has had a much deeper and better purpose for me than I ever could have realized. I have kissed goodbye to video anxiety. Well, maybe not completely. I've nearly eliminated video anxiety, but it's just not something that I even think of anymore because I have done the thing where the more you do it, the more you get comfortable with doing it. So I wanted to share some of the experiences and lessons that I have had in case it inspires you to do something that makes you feel a little bit awkward or uncomfortable or is pushing you outside of your comfort zone. Because I know it sounds like some sort of cheesy card or, you know, inspirational bro quote on Twitter, but there really is so much magic outside of the comfort zone. And sometimes until you actually do these things, you can't experience it. So I wanted to share with you today. And please let me know in the comments if this inspires you to do something similar. Maybe it's live streaming, maybe it's something else. But the thing is, whatever it is that is scaring you, I am here today to really encourage you to do it and do it in all its messy, glorious goodness. There have been some disasters during this live stream and none of them have impacted any of the good stuff that has come out of it. There was one session where I had a coughing fit in the middle of it for about 2 minutes. I had to turn my camera off, my microphone off. I was worried I wasn't even going to be able to restart. And then even the audio after that, I'm barely able to speak as I was still trying to stop myself from coughing. I didn't even have good sound for the first two because I forgot to connect my microphone to the camera correctly. So it was picking up the camera audio. There was one day where I didn't even have audio at all for the first 3 minutes. And thankfully, some people were on that day and were able to tell me. A little sad that I was exceptionally brilliant in that silent part and I had to try and recreate it afterwards. But these are all things that happened and things that can happen as you do things that you don't yet feel comfortable with and you're not yet good at. The point of doing it is to get good. The point of doing it is to learn a new skill. And sometimes learning the new skill can only be learned by doing and failing and making mistakes, doing things imperfectly and badly in order to get to being really good at it. And there is a big lesson that I have learned in the getting stuck in learning, because that is something that really held me back. I was like, oh, I'll live stream once I know how to do it better. I watched so many YouTube videos and other things. You know, I put off versions of doing, you know, any kind of video. I was like, oh, I'm video anxious. Like I owned that like it was my identity. It was my reason for not doing things, for feeling uncomfortable. And I feel like it kind of gave me an excuse to hide behind not doing video. And obviously, you know, there's a whole lot of life challenges and mental health challenges and stuff like that that can contribute to that. But it was that thing where it kind of took over my, I think I'd almost say it was this block or this inability to do video. I kept trying to watch and learn ways to do it better. And I was like, all right, maybe I'll record this way or I'll get this camera. Like I have my, you know, fancy new camera that I got for vlogging that I'm yet to make a single vlog on. Thankfully, it's also a fantastic webcam as well. But I've had that for a year now, more than a year, and have not yet used it because I have done hours of YouTube tutorials and all these things, you know, thinking that another lesson or, you know, a how to set it up is the thing that's going to tip me into doing that. And none of it did. The reason that this live stream challenge has actually got me to make video again after months and months and months of feeling a lot of resistance and not really making videos is because I just had to show up and do it imperfectly. There was no, oh, look, you know, my hair's not good today. My makeup's not good. I'm not feeling it. Oh, you know, I'll do it tomorrow. I was very, very good at finding all of the excuses in the world not to make a recorded video. Then I was like, well, video is the problem. It's my video anxiety. That's why I can't do it. You know, I just have to figure out how to get over that. So maybe I'll do audio instead. And you would think that audio would be something super easy for me, like a podcast. I, if you don't know, am an ex-radio person who spent 10 years working as a freelance voiceover artist. I have done 10,000 plus voiceover projects. My voice is everywhere. I recorded for a living. So I have all the fancy audio equipment, all the things. But do you think I did it? No, there were still things holding me back, reasons, excuses, my head gremlins, the junk that is there that stopped that from happening. And maybe you can relate. Maybe you've got your own mind gremlins that are telling you stories and reasons why not to do things. So the audio didn't happen either, despite the good intentions, despite the, oh, I'll just record things on the fly. I was like, oh, I can't record in this space. It doesn't sound good. Oh, I need to get sound foam. I literally have a pile of sound foam sitting in the living room of this apartment that we've rented in KL, thinking that that was the reason why I couldn't record audio. I still yet am to make this, you know, makeshift audio booth that I was going to make it sound better because, you know, I couldn't possibly release audio without it sounding good. These are all stories. We tell ourselves these stories. And the reason I like live streaming as this thing. Thankfully, I have had experience where I've done it before. I think in 2021, I did a live streaming challenge for myself. I didn't actually get to the end of it, which this time I'm like, I am getting to the end, even though the last one of these is going to come to you live from a park in Tokyo or something, because I'm going to Japan this weekend. But the fact is, when you commit to doing something, you are going to do it regardless. If it has a time and date, if there is an appointment for it, you are so much more likely to get it done. And how I made it easier for myself is that I didn't make the appointment the exact same time every day, because if I had done that, something would have come up. I would have had the reason like, oh, I can't do it at 10 o'clock on this day. I just won't do it. So my commitment to myself with doing the 30 days is that it doesn't matter what time of the day, but I am going to show up every day. And you better believe there are days that I didn't want to do it. In the first week, and I apologize if this was annoying, I even changed the time until I realized that when I was changing the time, it kept sending out notifications saying, this event has been canceled. This event is, you know, there is a new event. And when I realized that, I was like, okay, no, stick to the time. And even though, and again, I apologize if you've waited around for my live streams, even if I felt that nervousness and felt that fear and I've ended up going late, if I've ended up, you know, having to really talk myself into it, I've still done it. And that I am so freaking proud of. Even some days I've done it and I'm like, that was not my best work. I was rambling. It just wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. I got really high standards for myself, which can be really frustrating and another reason why just recording videos wasn't working for me. But even despite that, I have done it and I have showed up every day and I will continue to show up for the next few days to get to the end of it. And that has taught me that I can be consistent. I've had this message again. This is these mindset gremlins that, you know, trap us and keep us stuck and thinking we can't do things. And, you know, consistency is a message that is preached widely across everywhere in the online space. You have to be consistent. And if you don't show up and be consistent, you know, there's something wrong with you. And I really struggle with consistency. It's one of my biggest challenges. I'm really good at being, you know, prolific for a period of time and then I kind of drop off for a while. But this has kept me consistent because my only thing that I'm setting, I'm not making it that I have to be really good and awesome on these live streams. I'm just making it that I'm going to show up. I'm going to do it. And if it's not great, I still did it. The doing it is the thing that I set for myself as a challenge. And it's made me realize that I can actually be consistent if I take some of the constraints off myself, if I let my perfectionism go. There are so many things that I wanted to do with this live stream, and I'm sure it would make it better. I am going to spend the next month like learning how to, you know, maybe add some extra visuals onto the screen, add some slides and stuff like that. But when I have attempted to do it, that has made me get flustered, and trying to do that live, I don't have shortcut keys set up, and it just felt like another barrier and another thing that was going to stop me doing it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to turn up. I'm going to turn the camera on, show up. I do prep some notes in advance, and I am going to show in the technical part, not the the mindset part of this live stream. I'm going to go through some of the things that I have actually been doing to help me do it. And maybe for you, it's not showing up on a live stream. Maybe that's not the thing. Maybe it's that you want to be producing some kind of content more regularly. Maybe it is a podcast. Maybe it's something where you just want to set that goal for yourself that you are going to do it, even if it is imperfect. So I will go through some of the things that I've done that have allowed me to actually have the consistency when I'm not consistent, and allowed me to show up on video every day for a month, even though I have video anxiety. And I'm going to get that story out of my mindset, because I don't think I do. Once I start the camera, I'm fine. And I think it's that thing where, because I get nervous before I turn the camera on, I felt like that was some kind of me thing. But it's an everyone thing. It's so natural. Like, we're all going to get nervous. Essentially, you're going out onto a virtual stage when you turn the camera on. And worse, you can't even see people and you can't even see their reaction. So you're in this room on your own talking to a camera, feeling like a bit of a numpty. So it's normal to get nervous. And I kind of think I turned that normal nervous reaction into some kind of block that made me feel like I was, you know, there was something wrong with me that for feeling that. And one of the things that I've realized is that every day, even as I've gone on, and who knows, maybe if I keep doing this for a year, not going to do it daily, but maybe weekly. But if I keep doing this, maybe I'm still going to have those feelings. Maybe I'm still every time going to have to do the, okay, I'm good, I got this, before I turn the camera on. And it's the thing is I'm not going to let that stop me from now on. I'm just going to do it anyway, and I'm going to be okay with not being perfect and polished and presented, and this not looking like Marie Forleo TV or any of those, you know, really highly polished things that you see online, because those people have teams to help them. These amazing, beautiful YouTube videos with heaps of cool transitions and, you know, sharp editing and perfect hooks and all of that kind of stuff. That is usually not someone doing it by themselves. That is usually someone that has a team. And what you are seeing is the result of them doing this for years. You are not seeing someone's day one. And I think I've said this in one of the other live streams. When you want to see, to compare it to where you're at, go back to someone's first videos. Look at where they were in the beginning. And Stacey, it is beautiful that you're here, because I was going to tell the story of how you were telling me that when you were looking at my older videos on YouTube, you're like, wow, I can really see the difference. But that is true for everyone. You don't get better at a skill until you do it more and you do it again and you do it again. There isn't a shortcut to learning. You have got to be able to put in the reps. And that feels like another one of those cheesy LinkedIn bro sayings, but it's true. The only way to get better at things is by implementing them and doing them. And we can get stuck in this cycle of feeling like we have to learn more, or just another course or another checklist or something else. We need to do that first, and then we can do it. But, you know, this has really taught me that the only way to do it is by doing it and being okay with it not being perfect, because you will get things better and you will improve, and you can't get to that, you know, version 5 of yourself without going through all of the other versions first. So that is some of the things that I have learned in this 30 days before I get into the, you know, the technical how-to, the stuff I tend to fall back on because it feels really safe. Like, sharing some of this stuff is me sort of getting out of my comfort zone. Like, it's one of those things in my business. If you've followed me for a while, like, I'm a Kajabi strategist. I help people with the tech, and it's really easy to hide behind that. And I'm trying to push myself into more sharing about what I think about the creator economy and, you know, the online digital product space and some of the mindset junk that people can come up against, because often it is not the tactics and strategies that stop us from achieving. It's the just doing it and the feeling confident to do it. You can have all the information. You can have the blueprints. You can download the $100 million, you know, course templates from the people that have done it before. But what can make the difference is the actual doing it. And if that's you and you're getting stuck there, hey, I get stuck there too. And I've been doing this for 6 years. So I'm like, let's get out of it together. Let's go through this together. And I'll share what I'm learning as someone who's been doing it for a long time so that, you know, you can get some hopefully confidence from my confidence and getting out there. The thing as well, I think, about doing things imperfectly is it's actually in a way our biggest strength as people who need to connect with other people in order to show trust, to get people to buy into basically us selling the knowledge and skills of us. Trust and connection is the thing that sets us apart from AI. The AI is flooding everything. Like AI is so accessible. It's easy for people to learn from tools like AI. But what people really crave is connection and doing things where you can allow that you part to shine through, and to do it imperfectly is so the opposite of AI. And that is why it is so helpful. And also, you may be tempted to not do things because you're like, oh, my audience is really small. Like, I don't want to show up. Like, I don't want to live stream. There's no one on the live stream. I've done live streams in this 30 days where there have been zero people on. But do you know what there has been? There have been people watching the replays. There have been people listening to the podcast that I have created out of this. I have created shorts and reels. I'm probably going to be able to create more than 100 pieces of short form content from these live streams. So even if the live streams themselves haven't had massive reach in the beginning, because I don't have a huge audience of people that are like, oh, I'm going to tune into Sue's live stream today. Not, you know, considering the fact as well, I don't even tell you what time it is until the day, because, you know, I'm not doing it for that purpose. I was doing it for the purpose of getting myself out of the funk, to do something that challenges me, to get more used to being on camera. And all of those things I was able to achieve. I'm able to practice. Even right now, I'm really concentrating on looking at the camera, because when I looked at my videos, I realized that was something that I struggled with. I did a whole lot of like looking around and to the side, and I struggled with keeping my eyes on the camera because it's a skill that you need to learn and that you need to train. And sometimes I forget, especially if I haven't had coffee before my session. And it's all of that kind of stuff that will allow people to connect with you. You can create content that you can repurpose, and I'll go into what I'm doing with repurposing. But as well, like one of the beautiful benefits about having a small audience is when you have a giant coughing fit, or if your sound isn't working, or if something isn't perfect, you're doing it in front of a smaller audience. It's a lot easier when you are learning to do it in front of a smaller audience than when you are potentially reaching thousands. But even when you are, stuff is still going to go wrong. It is not some kind of one and done thing that you will learn a skill, you will do something, even if you do it for 30 days. If you're thinking about that 10,000 hours, hey, I've got about 9,900 hours still ahead of me of just putting the reps in, of doing this, of being on camera, of presenting in order to get better. Like, can you freaking imagine how good I'm going to be? In fact, I should record this video and keep it somewhere and be like, were you here back when I was, you know, first getting my confidence up to go live, and see where I am at in 10 years? Who knows? Maybe I'll be on some awesome stage somewhere and this will be the thing that triggered that. That's the whole point, is it's not designed to get you to that, you know, highest version. It's designed to help you on the journey to get there. Okay, so let's look at some tech of what you need. So I'm going to talk live streaming here because that is what I've been doing as part of this challenge. Basically, you need some kind of video and some kind of way to have audio. So you could use the webcam on your camera. That would be 100% okay because you're starting imperfect. If you have a better webcam, fantastic. I am very blessed to have my beautiful DJI Osmo Pocket 3, my vlogging camera that's never yet made a vlog. Will be soon. That's my next challenge. But this camera, I can use it as webcam, plug it straight in with a USB cable. I freaking love it. It's very, very easy to set up. It zooms. I don't have any lights in this room apart from the overhead light, which is one of the reasons I love it as well. Being a digital nomad, I don't have the same awesome setup that I had in my office in Australia where I had, you know, beautiful lights that were dimmable, controllable. They're just too heavy. I've got one little light with a battery and it's really frustrating and it's hard to actually position it somewhere. So one of the main reasons I love this camera so much is because I don't need to have fancy lights. The lighting is okay. Sure, it could be better. Everything always could be better. But it gives me that, you know, good enough. I've just got one probably ugly, crappy fluoro overhead, a bit of light from a window here and a bit of light from a door there. And, you know, it does good enough light. I do have this little microphone that came with the DJI. I think there's a creator combo. I actually ended up buying them separately because I bought the microphone first. But it's a DJI mic, not the Mic Mini. I just have the DJI Mic 2. The reason I got it as well is that it connects up to my iPhone because iPhones, as I discovered, do not record the audio from your headphones. It records it in the phone when you're making videos. But the DJI mic, you can actually plug that into your phone and connect up. It's got a little box. I won't show you. It's got this little thing that I've got connected to my shirt. I actually have a lav mic attached to it. I like using the lav mic. I find that the mic's a bit heavy and it pulls your shirt forward, but also the lav mic, you can get it nice and close. So that is what I use. It's a little fancy. Before, up until I bought this camera, I had used a $99 Logitech C922 Pro, and I'd made every other video in my business before using that. So this Osmo was a bit of an upgrade, but I love it. And one day I'm going to make vlogs with it as well. And you'll get to see those. I can share some of my travel adventures. So what I would suggest is start with what you have. You could use earpods. Like I'm using the earpods just to sort of hear back to make sure everything is okay. But the actual audio is coming through the microphone. However, if you didn't have that, I've made plenty of videos just using AirPods, and that's a great way to get started. So some sort of audio, ideally not the room audio, but like I said, for the first two or maybe three videos that I made, I didn't even realize that the mic wasn't connected to my camera because the Bluetooth had dropped out. And the audio, yeah, it wasn't probably the best. Still used it, still did it. Still, you know, made something that is usable and helpful for people, regardless of the fact that it wasn't perfect. So use what you have got. One of the things that I do find really helpful is a second monitor. So just because when you're running the streaming software, I'm using StreamYard, which I'll talk about a little bit. I find that having my notes on one screen and having StreamYard controls on another is easier. I get a little flustered when I've got to go through tabs and different screens. And when I'm trying to look at the camera, it's a little bit hard when I'm also trying to look at other things. And if I have my notes just here, I can just do a quick look down at them and I can just scroll through. So I've got my notes on the screen off to the side. And then I can see if any comments or anything that come up on StreamYard on this side. If you don't have a second monitor, it doesn't need to be some perfect second monitor. You can get like the cheapest $50, $100 thing, Facebook Marketplace. You can probably get a secondhand monitor really easily. Or you can get an iPad or something like that to put your notes on, a tablet. But two monitors definitely makes it easier. I have done it with one, but yeah, I do find that I get a little flustered with the tabs. So, you know, up to you and how comfortable you feel. I could probably set up some shortcut keys, but then that just all got too hard. So I did not. I am using StreamYard for this for the software for what I'm doing. The reason I'm using StreamYard is because it allows you to stream in multiple places at once, and I am a little bit lazy in that way. I like one software. I can go in there and check the places that I want it to go. So this stream is going live to my Facebook business page. It is going to my Facebook personal page, which is actually the place where I'm finding I'm getting the most interaction, which is really interesting. It is also going to LinkedIn and it is going onto YouTube. So I can just check the box for each of those and it's going to send out to multiple places at once. And given that tomorrow's little Sue live stream pep talk is all about how to not use social media because I freaking hate it, it makes it really helpful to be able to, you know, spread yourself widely without technically having to be in every place. You can go live straight onto platforms like Facebook, Instagram Live. The only reason I'm not going onto Instagram Live is that was another roadblock that was going to stop me from doing it and put it off into the next day. It's probably a 5-minute thing, but I was just like, you know what, I don't even use Instagram much anymore, so I'm not going to worry about setting that up. But you can also use Instagram. And depending on the streaming software that you're using, there's probably other options as well. I used to post to Twitter back when Twitter wasn't a cesspool, but I just don't bother now. And with the StreamYard software, I have a love-hate relationship with StreamYard. I really like the software. It is my favorite streaming software that I've tried. I've, you know, got the very, very fancy ones, and StreamYard is the best combination of being very simple but also looks really good and is easy to use. It's very expensive, though. That's one of the things that frustrates me. They doubled their prices at the end of last year, and I was going to try and find something else, and I was like, yeah, I already know how to use it. I'll pay for it for this month, and then maybe I'll do some research into finding something better. It's one of those, you know, like, I know it's expensive, but it is good and it does work really well, so I'm going to stick with it for now. So I, with the stream, actually also stream it through to a landing page on my website. It's probably a bit of overkill for this to actually do that, because I needed to go up to the next plan, because you need to stream it as a webinar. However, I already had the page that I had set up for the Kajabi Fireside Chat, so I just needed to, you know, duplicate it and make some changes to the page. And it's been a really helpful sort of home page for this live stream sessions. But, you know, that is totally extra and not needed. I think I just did it because that's how I did it the last time I streamed, and I was like, minimum viable, do it exactly the same is good. All right, so prepping content. So how I prep the content, I could, if depending on what the topic was, probably just put some bullet points on a post-it note and stick it onto my screen. However, because I wanted to feel a little bit more comfortable and because I was really nervous, I wanted to have show notes to follow so I didn't get off track. I can get really rambly sometimes, and I, you know, can forget and go down rabbit holes. So I wanted to have like some notes to follow. So I do a brain dump into my friend, my favorite current app, ChatGPT. It's not my friend, I was being facetious. So I brain dump my ideas about that topic into ChatGPT and then say, can you organize these thoughts for me into talking points? So, you know, it'll take the tangents, it'll, you know, organize things together, and then I'll have some bullet pointed out show notes that I can follow. That has been the most helpful way that I've been able to do it. If the notes are too long and I have to read it, I don't end up always using them. So I try and keep it so the bullet points are short, just like if you're presenting slides on a screen. Like if it's too much information and you have to actually sit there and read through it, it's distracting for the viewer, I think, and it's also been a little bit distracting for me. So I go through that. I sometimes will go back and forth. Sometimes I'll ask ChatGPT, hey, is there anything else that you can suggest to add to this that would make it helpful? And it might give me some suggestions. And I'll then go through the suggestions and give my thoughts about the suggestions. So I don't want it to be some ChatGPT thing. Like, I want to just be able to speak. And in order to be able to speak, it has to be something that I have an opinion about or thoughts about, not just reading it because, you know, ChatGPT said I should read it or it's on slides or something like that. So you could just do some bullet points on a notepad that you have. I just find having it sort of somewhere close to the camera is easier than having to look down. Like, I feel like looking down like that is a bit, you know, viewer distracting rather than just like, you know, like glancing over to notes on the side. And scripting everything is definitely not going to be helpful for a live stream. Sometimes ChatGPT has given me these really helpful hooks to start. I try to start with something, you know, interesting to keep people's, you know, attention. But if it's too long, again, I won't read it. It needs to be just a sentence. And I try to start, and this is one of the things that I'm, you know, hoping to improve and get better on, is starting with something kind of really snappy and attention getting. Like in the start, I was like, hey, it's Sue, and this is what I do with, and giving that introduction. But I'm trying to not worry so much about that and, you know, just get to kind of the point and go into it from there. Okay. Oh, look at that. Here's my notes. See, I've gone off on my ramble and now I just got the bit where I get to StreamYard. That was in my notes that I thought maybe I forgot to put in and it was just in a different order. Anyway, that is the downside of using the notes. I will say one of the things that I would suggest, and I think I will do going forward with this, is because I want to get the next day's stream scheduled before this one starts so that, you know, that's locked in the bag. I don't even know why. Like, I've just got it in my head that I should do that. Maybe that's the thing that helps me stay accountable, is that before the first one starts, the next one is scheduled. That's when I need to do my brain dump. So I'm actually doing the brain dump the day before the session, and then I get the notes the day of. So I think going forward, what I'll do if I keep doing the live stream is try and keep the brain dump and the notes the same when everything's a bit more fresh, so that, you know, when I'm reading things, you know, A, I'll need to rely less on the notes, and B, if something like this happens where things are a little bit out of the order that I would have expected them to be in, then, you know, I'm not going to be having to scroll through the notes going, where am I up to? I did want to say something about if you do commit to doing some kind of challenge where you are needing to be consistent with it, pushing through low energy days, I think, is really important. Teaching yourself that muscle that you can be consistent and something doesn't need to be at your 100%, that's still okay. But, you know, being okay with publishing, like, you know, B minus work or even C work. So for me, and this is completely up to you and how you want to work, but I found that I just got so much value and I have so much more confidence in myself at just being consistent. And even if things didn't go as planned, and even if I didn't feel like that was my best work, and I was like, you know what, I did it. I'm sticking to this. I'm seeing it through all the way to the end. And that was a really, really valuable thing for me. So they're just showing it up. Again, like I said before, like, I didn't want to set the time, because if I did, that would have probably stopped me from showing up. I have absolutely no doubt about it. Sometimes I've thought that I scheduled the session for like 9:30, and then I've got up and it's 10:30. I'm like, yes, thank you, Past Sue, for making life easier. The earlier it is in the morning, I found it a little bit harder to show up. I prefer to do it later in the day. The time zone challenge is a big thing, and that's why there isn't a lot of attendance, because pretty much every one of these sessions has been in the night or even middle of the night for where the majority of my audience is. But because I didn't go into these sessions with the goal to, you know, I'm not doing a launch or anything at the end of this. I just wanted to get, you know, back into the swing of things. I just wanted to start doing what I love again and, you know, creating this kind of content. And it has, you know, just doing that has given me my spark back, doing things without having that specific purpose and just having a bit of fun with it again has been the purpose and the benefit. So because I'm not stressing about people turning up and being there at a certain time, the time hasn't been as much of an issue. So worst case scenario, you know, I think on one of the days I pushed it back 2 hours because I was just really not feeling it, but I still did it anyway. The doing it anyway, I think, is the most important thing. I have had a couple of topics where I've sort of had them where they were, I'd say, almost easier topics, but interestingly, the ones that I thought would be my easy topics ended up, because I realized I had so much to say about it, ended up being some of the longer ones. But you can always do that, like have a little list of things where, you know, if it was a, you know, really bad day and you just weren't really feeling it, what is something that you could do quickly? Like, these have varied from, I think, 15 minutes through to over an hour was the longest one. So what can you do to make it easier for yourself? What can you take out to make it so that you actually get it done? That would be my suggestion. If you're finding it hard, you're probably overcomplicating it in some way. What's something less that you could do? For example, I wanted to also, you know, in my mission for repurposing the content was turn these into blog posts. I have not been able to do that. That was just one extra thing. Like, even just doing the podcast was probably a stretch. I'm glad that I did it, but that was, you know, possibly, you know, if I did something like this again, I would just do the thing, then worry about the repurposing afterwards because of, you know, current capacity. Like, I'm still sort of recovering from illness to a degree, but that is, you know, up to you. Like, what can you take out to make it so that you actually achieve the thing? Because maybe it is that you're doing too much prep. Maybe instead of, you know, prepping and doing the notes into ChatGPT and getting, you know, all of that, you're like, you know what, I'll just chuck a post-it note up with 3 points, bam, let's go. If that makes it easier and that will make you, you know, actually do it, then that can be a good way to go. I've got some little rituals that help me feel better. And this is, I don't know if it's a generational thing. I just can't show up on camera with my messy pajama hair. I just can't do it. And I have curly hair. So that's one of the reasons why the morning ones are really challenging, because I have to wet my hair / have a shower in the morning so that it looks nice and curly and not messy and a frizzy whatever. You know, again, maybe that is my own mindset gremlins. And I know that people do just show up live in whatever form. I'm not there yet. Maybe that'll come in future. But at the moment, I would like to show up a little bit polished. So I do my hair, I put makeup on, and, you know, because that helps me feel confident. If that isn't a big deal for you, no worries. One of the things I do as well is I do a little spray of my favorite perfume because it makes me feel good, makes me feel confident. And it's then I feel like I'm associating that happy smell with something that feels good and happy. I 100% now will always keep a glass of water on hand, especially after my coughing fit, because that was a bit of a challenge. So keep some water handy and maybe, you know, have a little like pre-go live ritual, something you can do to pump yourself up or calm yourself down, whichever you need. Just be like, all right, I got this, I can do it. And just know that the more that you do it, it will 100% get easier. I remember when I did my very first webinar, it was pre-COVID, I just about had an anxiety meltdown. Like I was so scared. You would think being someone who's been in broadcasting for years and years and years would not get scared, but no, there's something about the camera. It just does things with my head. I prepped for hours. I was like doing meditations, trying to calm myself down. And even still, I was so nervous. I completely freaked out. However, I did that webinar again and again. I think I did it like 6 times over 6 weeks. I think I was doing it weekly. By the 6th time, I was like, yeah, we're fine. Like, let's go, because everything was more familiar. When you do things for the first time, it is going to be as scary as hell. And that's okay, because it's not going to stop being scary until you just do it and you know, deal with those first few times being rough. And each time you do it, you'll learn one little thing, you get that 1% better, or, you know, you'll feel more confident with the software, with the tech, with the just doing the thing, maybe reading notes and going through. It's all going to layer on, and that's why doing things again and again and again is so useful. Okay, so audience engagement without stressing about it. That is one of the things that I'm still learning and getting better at, because I can see comments and I kind of feel like, oh, there's a comment and I want to stop and read it. And that can be distracting in the middle. So I try to, if at all possible, even if I see comments come up, stop when I can cope with it. You know, some presenters will be like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah's in the chat. Yeah, and they'll just keep going. I find that a little bit disrupting, and maybe that's just I need to do a live stream one day where I encourage comments and I get used to how to actually do that and read the comments and respond while live. Maybe just do little sneaky glances and get better at speed reading. I'm not sure. But what I would suggest though is don't worry necessarily if you do miss comments. You can always come back to them afterwards. You can always check in on the comments in the end. On StreamYard, the comments are actually in a different tab to where these banners. So I've got these banners that I can bring up on screen. They're in a different place, and then so you've got to click around. So it means I've got to look at the screen, which I try not to because I'm trying to look at the camera. But I have got better at it, and you know, one of the things that I want to improve on is like learning short keys, or maybe even using a Stream Deck or something, so I can just press a button, which will help move things around and make stuff happen. Even if you don't have a heap of comments, don't stress. Like I said, the replay is where I'm getting the most of the value from these sessions, because the time zones when I'm running them suit me, not the viewers, because that's what I needed to do to make it happen. And you can always come back and reply to comments afterwards. One thing though for StreamYard, which was a little bit frustrating, is that the live comments don't always stick to the video in, I think it's YouTube. Facebook, they do. And I'm not sure about LinkedIn either, because I know that there was one day where I was like, comment if you want the free resource that I was doing. And then I went to send it and I was like, oh, I know there was like at least 3 people that said, yes, please. And then I couldn't find the comments to be able to send it to them. So that's just one little challenge, but for the most part, you can do cool things in StreamYard. And I won't do it because Stacey left a comment for me, but you can actually put people's comments up on stream, which is cool. Again, you know, that's extra level of stuff that I will start to bring in as I get more comfortable with streaming in general, and then try and make these shows a little bit more visually interesting and interactive. Skills got to build. And the thing that has been the most beneficial and powerful, apart from all the mindset stuff, like my mindset has just completely changed since the start. I feel like it's almost weird saying it like, you know, it really does feel like I've had a transformation in energy, in passion for my business, in loving what I am doing, in no longer, you know, feeling like video anxiety is this enemy that I have to slay. I'm just like, yeah, it's just there. It's always going to be there. That's cool. We're friends now. So that side of it has been amazing. But what has been really, really helpful from a business perspective is the power of repurposing the content that I've made through these live streams. I think live streams where I'm just talking like this are probably a little bit hard to sit down and watch for hours, you know, to watch hours of that kind of content. There's not a lot happening on the screen. There's a reason why YouTube videos and, you know, TV and films have lots of cuts and go between, you know, different styles of footage, blah, blah, blah. It's harder to do that on a live stream, but do you know what is not hard to do? To take the live stream content and turn it into other awesome things. So as well as the full live stream being able to live on in YouTube, it can also live on as a blog post. I can take the transcript from the live stream, I can pull it out, I can put it into ChatGPT and use that transcript to help write a blog post pretty much in my words, because I've said the words. It's organizing, you know, 30 minutes. I'm up to 40 minutes now of content. It's organizing that into something that is a non-rambly blog post, which is incredible. I will then be able to cut out clips from these recordings. Some videos I'll get more than others, but there's short form content. I have not posted on social media forever. I think I've done like 2 posts on Instagram in like a year. But in the last week or so, I've now got 5 reels up there and they are getting views. I have those shorts now on YouTube. So I have created short form video without actually having to create short form video. I'm able to use AI tools like Descript. I'm also playing around with Opus to go through that video and pull out those cool bits and then, you know, give me that other content. So after this, these 30 videos are going to be a fantastic resource. I've also done something with it that I am so damn proud of, and this is why it's probably been a little bit of a stretch, and I'm going to change the pace of this in future and maybe do it weekly or fortnightly. I have a podcast. I'm an audio person. I started my first job out of high school was working in radio. I am someone who uses my voice. I have fancy, expensive microphones and all the bit, but I have never done a podcast. Something has stopped me. And I think it was all the podcast learning, to be honest. It was, I don't even know how many podcast courses and, you know, playlists for YouTube tutorials and all the things that I've got. And you know what I just did? I just did it. I put it up. I didn't refer to a single bit of it. I just created the podcast, stripped the audio. Voila, now I have a podcast. I use ChatGPT to do the show notes from the transcript. I link to the YouTube video. I'm sure there are better things that I can do, and I'm sure that over time, as I do more with it, I'll probably learn more, do better, etc. But now I have had a way for over 100 people to connect via their ears. These sessions, these live sessions, are perfect for podcast format. I love podcasts myself, and now I have one. So hurrah, go me. Repurposing. It's able to take that one piece of content and make it so much more useful and versatile. There is a heap of people that would probably never be able to want to feel inclined to sit down and listen to half an hour or 40 minute chats about creator economy, you know, working as a digital product creator, courses, thoughts on launching, perfectionism, all the things that I've been talking about. But they could be really happy to listen on a podcast, and they are. And I think it's repurposing is one of the great things about live stream. That's the end of my talk. If you have questions about live streaming, though, please let me know. I am certainly not a live streaming expert. I'm just sharing the things that I've learned out of pushing myself out of the comfort zone, doing something different, and stretching myself. And damn, I feel good that I have done it. I feel so proud that I'm going to get to 30 days of live streaming. My goal, I'm going to hit it. This is day 27, so I've got 3 more to go. And I hope it's been really useful and helpful for you as well. I was being completely selfish with this. I didn't do it with some goal. I did it to help myself, and hopefully it's helped you in the process as well. And hopefully I'm going to be able to figure out a way to continue doing it in some form going forward. Tomorrow, though, I'm going to be back talking about what to do if I hate social media and still want to sell. I am not a fan of social media. All the apps are gone from my phone. I try to avoid it if possible. However, there are some ways that you can make sure that you, firstly, are still selling in your business, even if you're not selling via social media, and maybe some things that you could do in social media to make it feel less crappy. Because I think social media used to be good. I started way back in the heyday of oh my gosh, I'm aging myself now, but back when, you know, I had a business page and we could put a post on and we'd suddenly get 500 likes and watch, you know, Google traffic tick up on the back end and sales coming in. It is no longer like that. It's really hard. And sometimes because it feels really hard, that is the reason why we hate it. So I'm going to be talking all about that. I won't start rambling about it now, but, you know, content can be fun. You can do it in nice ways. So join me tomorrow. This is what I do. If you can register for the last couple of notifications of when I am starting these live, if you like, at theunicornadvisory.com/this. I have got resources there as well. And I probably didn't talk so much about the technical aspect of it, but you know, the idea is to just pick something that's going to let you start. I got the idea one day, I started the next day. And that has been the thing that reminded me, we don't need to know all the things. We can learn by doing and just get enough to get started and then go. Have a beautiful day. See you tomorrow.